Welcome, everybody, to the 10th episode of the podcast of the Transregio Collaborative Research Center. This collaborative research center is sponsored from the Deutsche Forschungsgemeinschaft and is working in Heidelberg, Freiburg, and Munich, and is dedicated to exploring how viral hepatitis infections work and cause chronic infections. Today's episode will be in English, and we will be discussing the topic of bioinformatics and sequencing. And our guests today are actually from the two sites in Munich and Heidelberg. We have Karl Hermann here and Dirk Wohlleber. Both are PIs for the CRC. And I'm very happy to have them here with me to discuss how sequencing and bioinformatics can actually tell us a little bit more about what we need to know to fight viral hepatitis. Welcome, Karl.
Hi.
And welcome, Dirk.
Hi.
So, Karl, let's start with you. So you're working on a Z project. Can you let us know what a Z project actually is?
Yeah, sure. So in research collaborative projects like SFBs from the DFG, you have usually several research projects. And then you have the Z projects, and Z stands for Zentral Projekt, meaning that these projects are supposed to provide tools, methods, services, expertise across the different research projects. So we identify some needs that are shared by multiple of these projects, and we try to provide this expertise or this technology to all the other projects.
So it's like a core facility, basically.
Well, it's a core facility. We provide both experimental tool and services, but also expertise in the data analysis. We're also managing, for example, the data storage and things like that. So we have three central projects in this consortium. One is more for the administrative side, handling the finances, handling the reporting. And then we have two more research-oriented central projects, one in Freiburg and Munich, and one located in Heidelberg for data analysis and other things.
And so can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly your project is working on?
So our project is a third central project. It's in collaboration with Carsten Rippe from DKFZ here in Heidelberg. And what we are providing is both technology and bioinformatics expertise and support for single cell analysis and spatial transcriptomic analysis.
And also you're not specifically working on it. What's then the difference to the second project?
So the second project is more, the second central project from Freiburg and Munich are more providing expertise and tools for tissue imaging, tissue structures, so immunohistochemistry, for example. They're also running a biobank of liver samples that we can benefit from. So this is a good example of this central service, because they can provide samples to all the research projects that would need to access these kind of samples.
So now, and Dirk, we brought you on because your project specifically needs this assistant that Karl just pointed out. And the fact that you're from a different site also tells us that apparently this seems to be working pretty well over the different sites. So can you tell us a little bit about what your project is and why this central project is important to what you're doing?
Of course. In a single sentence, we are interested in the regulation of immune responses against virus infections of the liver. So many of us know that viral infections can be cleared. So at latest, since the corona pandemic, many people know about viral infections. Usually we get sick, and after 2 to 3 weeks, the virus is eliminated and we are healthy again. In the liver, unfortunately, some viral infections can develop in persistent infection, and the immune system is not able to eliminate those virus-infected cells. The reasons are ill understood so far, and we try to analyze parts of that to enable maybe in the future therapeutic approaches how to overcome these chronic infections, because medical treatment of, for example, chronic hepatitis B does not lead to cure of the infection. We just can suppress the viral infection, but the people are still infected for the rest of their life.
So now then, what are your leads? Like, what are the things that you think make this so specific, the infections of the liver?
So in the liver, we have it's very, of course, everybody working on a different organ says this organ is very specific, but the liver is centrally located in the body. It gets blood from the gut, rich in nutrition, what we eat every day. And of course, with that, we get also many toxic compounds. And to prevent an overwhelming immune response, the liver has developed mechanisms to dampen immune responses, which might be the cause why many or some viral infections of the liver can lead to persistent infection.
So then that's, but if the liver has developed such mechanisms, they're probably worth something, right? So
for sure, probably worth, because the patients, if they come to the clinics, of course, they suffer from disease or illness which are mediated by the immune system. So it's a balance between elimination of virus infected hepatocytes or liver cells and keeping the whole organ intact. So
basically you have to find strategies that specifically target those cells dealing with the virus and leave the others in peace and leave them do what they do.
Exactly.
So then how can the central project assist with that?
So what we have done in the first funding period, we established many models to investigate immune responses against infections. In the second funding period, we have made usage of a preclinical model of a persistent infection of the liver, and with special treatment, immune modulation, we have been able to overcome these chronic infections. And we have been able to monitor these virus-specific T cells and see the changes after treatment and before treatment and try to figure out what are the differences, why the ones can be reactivated and the others not. So this is traditionally done by flow cytometric analysis. In the time when we investigated, we have been able to investigate some about 15 parameters at the same time, of which 5 are used to identify the T cells. So there's not much. So we could analyze the classical markers like checkpoint inhibitors like PD-1, TIM-3, but that's it. And this is why we teamed up with the Z3 project and performed single cell seq analysis, which enabled us to identify thousands of genes in those T cells and investigate those. By the way, that we have been from the very beginning on planning with the Z project. This was also with Carsten Rippe. They have been very helpful in planning because we had no idea how to do such experiments. And as they are really expensive, the right planning was really good to have a lot of success, which we had then. And now we continue with Carl Hermann because, as expected or sometimes also unexpected, it's much more effort to analyze the data than generate the data.
Yeah. Okay. So you said basically now you're going from getting information of 10 different markers to thousands of those markers per cell. And Carl, that's then again where you're coming in. So how do you harness this large data set with that much information from thousands of different cells, thousands of different transcriptional data sets?
Yeah, so the really cool thing about single-cell RNA-seq is that you can really capture the heterogeneity of the cell population, right? And you can try to identify small subpopulation of cells, of immune cells, different cell states, and characterize them. So we go with a very unbiased way, right? We're trying to cluster the cells based on the expression profiles. And then we would identify some specific clusters. And then we're trying to, you know, use known markers to say, oh, this is a CD8 T cell. This is an exhausted T cell. This is a cytotoxic CD8 T cell. And of course, it's super important then to talk to the experts, because we are not the experts of in immunology. And so that's why it's really important. And then we had a lot of discussion with Dirk to try to understand if what we have done actually makes sense, right? And so this is a very nice way of collaborating, because I learned a lot about immunology, and so that was a very, very nice experience.
And so now I think what's also very interesting in what you're doing is that when Dirk takes out the immune cells from the liver, so basically takes the cells out of their original architecture, then you basically get the cells and have no idea where specifically in the liver these cells have been sitting, and then also maybe with what other sorts of cells they have been interacting. And so you've developed something that can probably change that a bit. Can you a little bit elaborate on what this is?
Exactly. So this the idea of the third funding period is to go now one step further and to really look at the cells in their native tissue environment. So this is something that has been developed in the recent years and that's really widely used, this spatial transcriptomics or spatial omics analysis, where you really try to understand the gene expression or the protein expression, but really in the context of the tissue. And so exactly like you said, Tobias, the idea is to really try to understand which cells are sitting to which other cells and how do these neighborhoods interactions kind of influence the cell state and the cell function, right? And so maybe coming back to your initial question about what's the role of a SET project. So there are many technologies available right now to do this spatial transcriptomics. And one of our first tasks is really to understand which one of these technologies is best suited for exactly the question we're addressing and for the samples we're using, right? So we're using FFPE samples, paraffin fin embedded samples. And so it's not clear which one of the different technologies works best for these samples. And so this is what we are currently testing to and evaluating.
But then let me just get back a little bit more to the specific details in terms of how you can even cells that you're not staining or looking at that is fixed in a tissue sample, but cells that have been isolated and taken out of the original architecture, you will still be able to make judgments on where these cells might have been sitting before they've been taken out, right?
Well, it depends on the technology that you're using, right? So what we are using here is a technology that's based on fluorescent dyes that will mark the transcript in situ, right? So actually, we're really looking at the cells in their context. We're not dissociating the tissue. We're using this imaging assay. So there are multiple technologies based on this idea, using these fluorescent probes to target specific transcripts. And we're currently testing two of these technologies to understand. So you really keep the tissue. It's an imaging-based assay, right? So you really keep the structure of the tissue. Now you have other technologies where you first, you know, label the cells with some sort of barcode that would indicate where the cell is sitting in the tissue slide, and then you can dissociate the tissue because you have the information about the spatial location of the cells, right?
Yeah.
But for this project, we're using this imaging-based assays.
Okay, so but those are two different things, and you can basically use either one of them, and the one is probably a bit more specific in terms of the location and the resolution of the location. Great. So and then I think what's also important is how can this question goes I think first to Dirk. So how can that project profit from what Carl has been doing? So what can you learn about immune responses towards viral infections of the liver that you could not without that technology?
So not to spoil too much, but together with Carl, we have...
You can spoil.
Yeah, preparation, but together with Carl, we have identified a subpopulation of progenitor cells locally in the liver, and we characterize them, and we would not have been able to see them by flow cytometric analysis because it's just a few cells, talking about maybe 100 to 200 cells. We would not have, by flow cytometry, not even been able to see any of those cells. So we identified those, with respect to your last question, also, we try to understand with which cells they have been interacting, because we can analyze intracellular signaling pathways and see that they have upregulated or downregulated certain ligands on the surface, which indicate that they sit in a certain niche in the liver. Mm-hmm. This is now for the future. Of course, if we would have kind of an atlas which maps all the cells, we can try to identify if we would have, if we find cells in those databases which are similar or mimics our cells, and we can then see with which cells they really interact. Because for a translational approach, we would love to identify in the next years, can we target these cells specifically to reduce side effects of therapeutic approaches? Because many immune modulating approaches have severe side effects. If we can target a specific population and reduce those side effects, it might enhance the effectivity and also lead to better compliance of patients later on, maybe.
Maybe if I can add also to this Liver Atlas project. So the idea is really to build a reference resource that can be used as a scaffold for other type of data. So one of the interesting things about these spatial omics atlases is that you can then try to map other data sets that you have generated on top of this atlas, right? And to reinterpret the data that you have generated now in the context of this spatial atlas. So for example, the single cell RNA-seq data that has no spatial information, you can try now to map it back to the spatial liver atlas and to say, oh, these cells, they are here and they are there, and that's the structure, etc. And so the liver is a very structured organ, right? And so you have this zonation structure of the liver. So it's really important and interesting to see where the immune cells are sitting. Are they sitting close to the central vein, the portal vein, etc.?
Yeah, that basically answered the next question. So what you just said is basically that not only does the project profit from the development of this atlas, but also the development of the atlas profits from what data are being are being generated within that project. So let me then just ask another question, because you just alluded to the liver being very well organized and structured. That is obviously the case when there's not too much damage done by the virus, and that also changes in the end. So how much, or can you even already answer that, how much of this atlas is actually dependent on the liver still being in a very intact state, so no fibrosis, no scarification of the tissues? Can you already tell us a little bit about how much this affects this atlas?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the tissue quality has a strong impact on the quality of the atlas, right? So I can tell from another project where we looking at tumor samples, and there, of course, you might have issues with the size of the tissue sample, with the quality of the samples. You might have tiered parts in the tissue. This will, of course, impact a lot the quality of the analysis, right? Yeah. But this is where we really hope to benefit from the expertise in the other central project, because Caroline Mogler from Munich, they have this huge bank of samples, and there in collaboration with her expertise, we can really select the samples that might be best suited for this analysis, right? And so this is why it's really important also to have this two expertise working together.
Yeah. So you're saying tissue quality, that's obviously something that makes a big bit of a difference. How much of the data that you're generating in a mouse model would you assume can be transferred to humans? Do you have any knowledge on that already?
Well, Dirk, it's your...
This came out a paper last week from our institute in Nature. Maybe you have read.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So Professor Knolle and PhD students have shown, set up preclinical models and showing that, again, T cells that are in contact with endothelial cells get shut down. Again, strengthening the question, with whom do those cells interact? And they saw that they have a certain signature, single cell signature, and they found back those signatures also in T cells isolated from human liver samples. So they mapped quite well. Of course, there's also a certain bias, but interesting how good you can map the data between different species.
All right, so that's very encouraging news in terms of translational research. Great, I think we've covered most of what you've been doing and sounds very interesting. And so we're really looking forward to seeing the results of this and maybe also discussing this in this podcast series. Thanks, both of you, and have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Tobias. Bye, Dirk.
Bye.